Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. You're listening to Life Conversations Radio.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
There is no life I know to compare with your imagination. Living there, you'll be free if you truly wish to be.
gently down the street. Mary, 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 wife of golden dreams.
Mary, let's study. Mary, Mary, study. Mary, Mary.
Yes, indeed. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 merrily. Life is golden dream, according to those artists, Bilal and Dakari. All right. Yes, from Atlanta, Georgia. We heard, you heard it first. Before that, you heard Karen Drucker, and she was giving us Song in My Soul. You can find her music on KarenDrucker.com. And of course, at the top, my good friend George Gorillas with Pure Imagination, something that we need to use at all times. At all times, but then sometimes we need to just kind of turn it off for a minute, go somewhere and go to sleep. Welcome, 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 welcome from the land of Down Under. We are broadcasting you live from Sydney, Australia. So thankful today. Thank you. Thank you for joining us on this playground of life, wherever we are on the playground. And having fun over here, I just want to tell you. This is Umbasa Sophira, one of your hosts, Sophia Moses, because we have another one on the line today as well. And I'll tell you about her in a minute. But we are going to be speaking today about our theme this month, which is Sound Strong. How strong is your sound? Can you be heard yourself? What moves you when you... What vibrates, what resonates? Ethel Murray is from Zimbabwe, living in Sydney, Australia, and a lover of people. She has raised 25 children, now her own, but, you know, she's they were her family, and she took them on, and she, her heart was so big, as the lioness that she is, taking on those children, and without even thought, just doing it with love. She has a lot of experience with working with, as a nurse, of course, with a lot of compassion, with open heart, and, you know, you can feel it and hear it in her voice, hear her speech. She's going to be sharing with us today about sound and about how it's been healing and effective in her life, living in Zimbabwe from a child. And you'll find it very interesting. I'm going to go ahead and bring her on the playground right now so we'll have enough time to tete-a-tete about this. So we're bringing her on right now. Ethel Murray. Ethel, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes. Can you pick up just a bit? Hear all of that lioness in you. Yes, indeed. Welcome to the play experience. Are you ready to play?
Yes, I am ready.
No, I'm going to have to ask that again. All right. Let me clear my throat. Dun-dun-dun-dun. Ethel,
yes.
Are you ready to play?
Yes, I am ready.
everyone that's here on the playground now didn't see you a little while ago when you were over there dancing to the drum. Okay, which we're going to talk about in a minute, but we're Ethel can't stop dancing, I'm telling you. So she's sounding like she's meek like a lamb, but she is really a lioness. So, and you'll see when she gets revved up here. Let me see if I can rev her up a little bit here in the land of Down Under. So, Ethel, tell us a little bit about Ethel Murray and how you ended up in the land of Down Under. Let's give a little synopsis here.
All right. Hello, everyone. My name is April Marie, as it has been introduced. I live in Australia. And initially, you know, I was living in the United States, Columbia, South Carolina, as a student and working at the same time. I come from Zimbabwe. I'm now Australian, so I call myself Australian, American, Zimbabwean. I work as a registered nurse in the mental health, and I have been looking after 25 children because I lost all my family. Although not all of them, you know, died of AIDS, but I've got four of my family members died of AIDS, and we were seven. And I am the fifth one, and mom and dad has also died. So I was left to be the only person in the family to 25 children, and I don't even have one child of my own. So I was like, oh, my goodness. I've been given so many. I've been given so many when I didn't have one. My life story is I was once a nun. So I left the convent to look after these children because there was so much going on in the family. And I was the only resourceful person to help the children. So I had to leave the convent to step out and help them physically, spiritually, and emotionally, because they didn't have anyone else except me. So I became a mother, a father, an aunt, an uncle, and everything you can think of. So I am it. Now that these children are growing older, and I've got still like five in high school, I started thinking about, how about those kids who do not have anyone who looks after them, who doesn't have an Auntie Ethel, you know, privilege to be overseas, because if I was working in Zimbabwe, I wasn't going to be able to help them. So I prayed about it, and I think God is calling me to a better understanding, or to a higher understanding. So that's why I am trying to build an orphanage in Zimbabwe to help the underprivileged children who do not have anyone to look after them, especially those who are on the streets. And then the vicious circle of AIDS is not broken. So we're trying to break that vicious circle so that these children can have a life, they can, and then for their children and their children. If we help 10, 15, 20, that's a lot. I believe that just helping even one person makes a difference in the world. And I am so grateful that Ombasa Sofira and Sherry Marie and a couple of my friends in the United States, you know, after I told them my story, they came together and, you know, and they are willing to help me. And that just brings tears in my eyes because, you don't find that many people in the world who can say, you know, I'm going to do this for you. As we know all, it's not just for me, but it's for those children. And it's for the greater glory of God anyway. So having Ombasa here, it's I'm still just pinching myself to find out if I'm still alive or I'm dreaming. So it's a blessing, it's an honor, and I accept it with a lot of humility, because it's not easy to leave your country and go somewhere else and say, I want to help these people or these children or this person to be a better person. So I think that's it about me, and I'm so grateful to have Ombasa Sofira and to be talking to you all today. That's wonderful.
Okay. Well, we are happy to have such a wonderful playmate here on the playground as Ethel Murray. I mean, Ethel, let's give them your birth name.
Oh, in my language, you mean in my
native
name?
Yes.
It's Sarudzai.
Uh-huh. And it means?
It means God has chosen.
Yes, indeed. And it's a beautiful thing. I just felt to bring that out because Ethel really has been chosen to, you know, as you can see her story, starting as a nun in her teens and then being brought out of the nunship. I'm not going to, I don't try to figure out what to call it, but just to be brought out of that into, sorry, you know, into a place where she didn't have any children, to having 25 children. And then bringing her into a place now where you're a nurse now today, right?
Yes.
You are a nurse,
mental health registered nurse.
Which is really powerful, okay? Working with, you know, from that transition, how the Creator's moved her and still moving her to now to having the Round Hut Village here. She didn't, I don't know if she mentioned the name of it, but the Round Hut Village and that village encompassing the world. So, you know, when you think about sound, how strong is your sound? Ethel, you are resounding. You are resounding around this world, and I am so happy to be here and sitting on the, playing on this playground as we're doing. And as a matter of fact, we'll talk about what we're doing here and tonight and all of that to be able to facilitate this Round Hut Village coming into play. We're going to get this done. Before I move from Sydney, whenever that is. So we're excited about that. We're talking about sound and healing and how strong can you allow your sound to be in the world today. You, right over here on the playground. I see you. But can I hear you? Can I hear your sound telling me exactly who you will be on this playground? Give my voice is moving back and forth. We're doing a lot of talking since I've been here. So, Ethel, I want to ask you, we're going to take a break in a few minutes, but I do want to get started here in the conversation that we had. I found very, very powerful. It's talking about one of my favorite subjects, which, well, a few of my favorite subjects. One, Africa. Two, the drum, and three, sound, and four, healing. So it's about four subjects. So let's go with the conversation we were having. You know, I want to share that with the others on the playground today about how the drum and sound affects cultures around the world, particularly that of Zimbabwe, where you grew up. I was talking with you and Sister Angela, our resident nun here today. I was hoping she would be on with us, but I don't know where she is. We'll look for her later. But right now, can you share with us how the drum and how music and sound affect your heritage?
Oh yes, it's a you know, it encompasses a lot of things, but I'm just gonna make it short. Because in the beginning, long time ago, when there were no telephones or anything for communication, which is still happening in a lot of, remote areas in Zimbabwe, that, a lot of people don't have telephones or they don't have cars or something like that. The sound of the drums is what people can understand what's going on in their communities. So these drums, are different. The way the drums are beat has got a different meaning each time. Let's say, for example, someone dies. The sound of the drums, is really, really deep, 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 deep. And, you just listen and, I think there's a funeral somewhere. And in our culture, it's like you don't need to know that person. You just have to go. So villages all around that area will, the villagers will go to where the drums are beating. you know, they can follow the sound of the drum and say, oh, it's beating at such and such a village. So they go there. And it's really amazing because you don't have to be told another thing again. You just know, okay, this sound is for, you know, someone has died or a funeral. And let's say there's a wedding. There's a wedding going on, and you don't need an invitation. That's the funny thing. You don't need no invitation. You just have to show up. Maybe with your plate.
So
because you know there's food to eat.
So when you hear, you were saying that when you hear the drums, when you hear it playing a certain type of way, like the drums that's behind you now. Can you hear the drums behind you now?
Yes, I can hear that. And that kind of sound, you know, that if I had heard that from a distance, I would say, oh, there's something going on, something, you know, like an entertainment or something, you know, something nice, you know, just to be happy. It's a joyful music. So that sound of those drums is joyful.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's fast,
yeah.
It's just, you know, making you happy, and it's just making you dance, and, you know, it doesn't make you think, like, there is something happening, which is serious.
Right. Yeah. And so when you hear it, and you said something about you don't need a paper invitation to know someone's getting married on this day or whatever. It's like you hear that music. And then you know there's a wedding, let me go. And it's something beautiful about that to me. In terms of collectiveness, in terms of you, when you hear it, you know you're invited. I mean, because sometimes, I'm going to tell you, I go past people's house in America, and they have a lot of cars, and they look like they're having fun, and I'm ready to go crash their party. They call it crashing the party, but I'm ready to go into that place, and it feels right. It feels that I should be able to go there and have fun with them. Why not? Why not me? Why not me? I would absolutely thrive in your country, in your culture, with that. Because it to me, it's absolutely beautiful to be able to just be invited, you know, and to be open enough to allow other people to be invited, just be open enough. You know, someone was talking, I can't remember where I was, but they were talking about someone doing, I think I was listening to a Dave show, and someone was on there talking about being able to go and cut somebody else's grass, or allowing it, first of all, and being willing to cut your neighbor's grass. Why are you stopping at the line? Why are you making a line there? Why not? If the grass needs cut, if you're going to make your grass look good, you know. Just as when people come to an event, they're going to colorize your event. Their sound, their energy is going to blend in with your event. And all of the people that come, I could just see it now, people coming from different villages, different places, just because they hear the drum. That is absolutely so yummy, powerful. When we're going to take a break, Ethel. We got to come back because I want to hear more about the music, the Mbira, the different. I'm just finished. Okay, so we're gonna take a break. We're buzzing over here, and I'll show you. Now, it's 9 a.m. or what is it? It's 9:30 now, but we're buzzing nonetheless. 9:30 a.m. So, all right, we'll be right back.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Are you about work, 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 and no play? Adults have a tendency to stay busy and neglect their own health and well-being, while successful people take regular breaks, vacations, and timeouts to play, rest, rejuvenate, and tap into their creative selves. Play and Heal is a unique opportunity for you to host a life-changing event in your very own living room, an event that is especially designed by you to facilitate the releasing of stress, balancing the mind, body, and spirit, not only for yourself, but of your friends and family too. Whether you create a soiree, a ladies' night, or couples event, these events are infused with the best of care, informative health information, and tools for stress maintenance that will shift how you see yourself and empower you to begin to work in cooperation with your best life. This event is sure to put a smile on your heart and send your spirit soaring. To book your Play and Heal event today, go to playandheal.org or you can email us at info@playandheal.org.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? Would you feel scared or proud? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Would you rather make your own way or spend a lifetime saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
And we're back. And I'm here on the, well, I have on the playground Ethel Mary, and I'm laughing because I'm like, am I on her playground or she's on my playground? And I said, we're just on the playground. Get over it, Ombasa. Welcome back, Ethel.
Thank you.
Ethel, yes, you're there. So, I am so thankful. My heart is so open. I'm so thankful that daunting to me. It's like, you know, but it was a very, very blessed. I thought it was going to be daunting. I used to say it that way. I was daunting beforehand. But as the creator worked it all out, it was beautiful. I got to stop and do some work in L.A., some beautiful work, and assist some people for their truth. It was just gorgeous. And just getting here, I just feel the energy, the aliveness. It reminds me a lot of England in so many ways. But then there's a fresh, breezy type of energy, you know, here that I really appreciate. So thank you for welcoming me to the land of Oz, the land of Down Under. Thank you so much.
You are welcome. Yes. I've listened to history.
So we're going to talk about what we are going to be doing tonight, tomorrow, and therefore after this weekend. But right now, I want to continue this for a bit, if you don't mind, our conversation about this sound and the relevancy and the healing power of sound and how it has affected you personally in your life, in your village, and in your township, in Zimbabwe. When we talked about, and I'm just bringing back up points that really were touched my heart closely. We talked about one of my favorite instruments I like to play, which is the mbira, and you gave some really juicy stuff about the mbira, and I don't think most people know. And so I would like for you to share about how sound the mbira and how relevant it was and is to your culture.
The mbira is an instrument. I don't know whether you've seen it before. It is composed of, you know, a wood, No, just a piece of wood. And then on that piece of wood, the metals that are attached to it, and they are attached in a way that, you know, they are in different shapes and different sizes. And the one playing the instrument, you know, puts both fingers on the mirror and, you know, you strum it. And it produces such a beautiful, beautiful sound. And in other circumstances, you know, they have like a big shell where you put the mbira inside, and it just produces that deep sound, very deep sound. And in the culture, in our culture, mbira is very important because that's the central instrument that brings the spirit medium, if you've ever heard about spirit medium, and, you know, as ancestral spirits. And in all occasions, when people, you know, gather together, they go in a round hut because they believe that the spirit medium, you know, doesn't like all these sophisticated houses and all that, so they go back. You know, like, it's so funny because even people who are so educated and they live in the big cities and all that stuff, when mm-hmm. it comes to the culture thing, you know, they go back to the rural areas and they get the mm-hmm. people who can, you know, play the mirrors, and they go back into the round hut where they sing yeah. and dance, and, you know, they ululate a lot. And, you know, the whole emotion, the energy that the mbira brings, and the feeling that it brings, it just makes you feel like there is something in this house, or there's something happening, which you cannot really tell what it is. But, I mean, let's say you are visiting from the States, you might just feel like, it's just, you know, like a sound that brings so much emotion in your life. You might even start crying, and you can ask yourself, oh, why am I crying? But it's because of that sound. And so the mbira is a very powerful instrument in our culture because that's what people believe brings the spirit medium to the you know, into the family. When I talk about spirit mediums, I don't have too much knowledge on that area, but what I know is when our, you know, our family member dies, we know they are dead. But in actual fact, on the other hand, in our cultural spirits, we know they are alive and they are with us. And as we believe that they are with us, the other thing that I don't understand that is so deep is that, you know, the spirit medium can get into one of the family members, and they know that it's, it's Uncle so-and-so or it's Auntie so-and-so who comes and possesses this person to, you know, to speak like her, to talk like her, to behave like her. So let's say, you know, people are not sure because this person is just behaving awkwardly, and they're not sure exactly what's going on. They get the mbira, and they start playing the mbira. And that person who is supposed to be with the spirit medium will start talking like, I am so-and-so, and, you know, I want this, or this family should behave like this. So, you know, giving powerful information to the family. So mbira is considered to be the sound that, you know, that touches a lot, a lot, a lot. You can't take that out of, you know, like everybody, you know, like who comes from that culture, because they know, even if they have other religions or whatever, that's the deepest religion that we go back to and say, oh, my goodness, this is what the roots, the background, the the initial background that makes me who I am. So mbira is, I can say, an instrument, a powerful instrument. Powerful instrument.
Wow. Wow,
yes.
Wow. And it resonates in me and through me. I just get chills because I think about how, you know, I've always loved that instrument without knowing the history of it. And you were talking about how the spirit medium you know, is the same as what other people says, the dead. But you all do not say that because that's like an insult or whatever. It's like, no, it's not. That's not what you say. You say spirit medium.
So it's like Uncle
so
and so is visiting. He is not dead.
Uncle somebody is visiting. Yeah, I got you. I got you. And so
yes,
and then
yes.
You said something about you said something about the when it's something when it feels like a spirit medium is there and you're not sure, you get the inferior for that. To even I bring them out to identify, you know, who they are.
Yes.
So they may
yes.
give instructions about that only that uncle would know. They would only, and so it really makes that not so much a legend, but the truth. So when it makes it not so much an emotion, but a vibration, a reality, it brings it to life. Because it's seen so many times in your culture, it's not something that somebody can make up. Is that true? Are you there?
No, I couldn't
hear
you properly for a minute. Yeah.
Oh.
Yes, I can hear you now. Yes.
Okay. It makes it its energy. It's because that energy is present, and that energy is speaking only what that person when they were alive could possibly know, then that is nothing that somebody could actually make up over and over again. That's true.
Yeah, I'm not sure
and
what's happening with my phone right now. It's
it's okay, because I'm hoping that everyone else heard me. But the main thing I was saying was that it's not something that you can make up. This whole spirit medium.
No. You can't make that up, because that's when, you know,
make
this person starts, you know, talking like that. The person, we're supposed to be visiting at that time. You know, if it's Uncle John, so that means he starts or she starts speaking like Uncle John. And people be like, that's really Uncle John talking right now. So you can put it on. You know, it's they know how to identify, you know, the false prophets and the
yes.
real ones.
Yes.
So that's why it's
yes.
it's a deep culture thing. And
yes, it's true.
Yes.
And it's beautiful because the Invira, when you talk about that, so I just love this conversation, because the Invira is the catalyst for a lot of this, of course, along with the drum, yeah? I know you
yes.
said that the drum is very powerful as well in terms of everything, you know, being able to, but this was this particular aspect of things, in terms of, you talked about when you hear funeral, when you hear music, when you were, and it's interesting, we're talking about sound, and we're talking about how powerful the sound is, and even talking about the sound of the loved ones, the Uncle John coming to visit, the sound of the person who is actually projecting Uncle John through, that is being used to give that voice to Uncle John, sound. And so, and really dealing with the whole entity of, I mean, the sound being the same as our resonance, it's being the same as our vibration, our energy, that we are sound. So when we talk about how strong your sound is, how you're projecting your sound, are you projecting a weak signal in the world? Are you projecting a strong sound in the world? Because which one would you rather be heard as, you know? And so thank you for bringing that, all of that to light for me today, because even as we spoke yesterday, I didn't really get all of what I'm getting now, which is just streams and streams of energy here. This is beautiful. And as I think about, you know, you talked about, I think you played a sound on the drum, which you so adeptly, it's awesome. showed me of a beat that when you hear it, because of the culture that you grew up with, you're feeling like, oh, somebody, you know, somebody's a funeral, you know? And so you feel a certain feeling about it, maybe sadness or something. But when I heard it, I was like ready to jam. I was like, you know, I'm ready to go with it, because I didn't, you know, anything again about how sound, you know, how we interpret the sound that we hear. you know, which is probably a whole nother conversation. But it is a conversation that will come forward, I'm sure, within this month's time. But it's really really powerful to talk to you about sound, how it's coming across, you know, to us, you know, because people are like, okay, well, I heard that, but, you know, I didn't hear you say it like that, you know. I didn't understand it to come across to me like that. So, yeah, but that's thank you so much for that whole synopsis about sound and healing and, you know, how things come across to people and how you explained it was totally impeccable. So I'm gonna move into, because of time and moving through collapsing the time. We're learning how to collapse this time, aren't we? We are learning how to collapse this time. Oh, but, that's a whole other conversation. We're gonna talk about collapsing time next month. But anyway, for right now, we're talking about playing, healing in the land of Oz. What a great place to play and heal. Tell us, you gave it to me yesterday, about, you know, what you wanted to do for women and why you thought Play and Heal was important to bring here to Sydney. And tell us about what we are going to be doing, you know, from this night on. We're going to be doing different events in different cities. But yeah, I want you to share what you felt the reason was to be able to bring Play and Heal here and myself. Thank you.
Oh. Yes, yes, beautiful. Since I've heard about you, I heard about the Play and Heal, just the word play and heal, you know, it just draws the attention of like, I think that's something I need. Because in most cases, you know, as you have always said, we work, and then forget to look after ourselves. And by so doing, we ruin ourselves, and then we can't even be effective. In my case, I can say, you know, I've been working so hard. You know, you can imagine looking after 25 children. So I had two jobs, running from one job to the next. And I thought that was going to solve all the problems. But in the course of doing that, your body reacts to it because it's too much for the body. You don't have enough rest. You don't have enough time to think about yourself or to do something for yourself. I didn't even have a social life because I'm just running from one end to another. But it comes a time when your body just says, no, I can't cope. And I think and I believe that the play and heal is very important because I see a lot of women doing the same thing, not just the women, but even men, you know, doing the same thing. And because we don't have that guidance to, you know, to tell us that it is important to look after yourself, because in the long run, if you ruin your body, that means you can't even look after that family you think you love so much. So, when I was talking to Ombasa, and we were talking about a lot of things, about the Round Heart Project and, you know, how I view my life here, and that I said, you know, I think a lot of women here, I mean, I was associating myself to a lot of women who do what I do, and I said they real need someone who can talk to them about this kind of thing, you know, fold, play, and heal. I think everyone in your life, at some point, you always need a break on what you do. But we deprive ourselves of so much, and, you know. So, in short, when Sister Ombasa is here, I call you Sister Ombasa, right? while she's here, we have organized and, you know, mobilized a lot of women to come together to just have that beautiful time to dedicate, you know, time to themselves and relax, you know, just to share and just to laugh. And a lot of them are looking forward to this because it's just wonderful, and they have never heard about it. You know, we go to parties, but nobody takes no notice of anyone. You just go there, hi, 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 and that's it. I mean, you still carry your emotions. You still carry whatever is happening in your head. You might be at the party and you can't see no one. But at this time, when for this play and heal, it's so focused on you as a person. And you have got that space and you have got that time to look into yourself, or to, you know, like the Ombasa is always saying, you know, it's the time that you have to relax and, you know, get all the stress out. So it's a special time. It's a healing time, you know. So I'm just wishing it on every woman or every man or every child to experience play with Ombasa. I wish you can just make it a play for the whole blessed world.
That's right. See, and that's why I said, if you're wishing it on her, we're going to bring it on Celeste, because Celeste is really, really excited about this play and heal and us being in the land of Oz and all of this good stuff. But I'm going to say this, Ethel, if you are wishing it on the world, then the world is in trouble if they're trying to get away from playing and healing.
Exactly. We got to play.
Yes, indeed. We have to keep playing, passionately loving, appreciating you. And how best to do that than to play? Celeste, are you there? I'm right here. Hey, what's up? I see your time. But this is what I want to ask. Have you had any contacts or any stories to share about the Aborigine people that are also in Australia? Have you been able to connect with the people of the land, the other people of the land as well, since you've been down there?
Yeah. Wonderful. You know, surprisingly, is their culture is almost like the African culture. And, you know, listening to their history, where they originated from, a place called Tonga in Africa. So while they were migrating, you know, moving from Africa, they, you know, the intermarriages and all that stuff. So they have got the African in them, and then they've got a little bit of an Indian, you know, when you look at them, you know. So in most cases, they play, you know, like at the Sydney Opera House and near the Harbour Bridge. And, you know, that's where I normally see them, because I haven't been to the Northern Territory. I haven't gone visited to the Northern Territory where a lot of them are. But, I meet them a lot. And when I was doing counseling, I decided my attachment, my experience for the counseling, I did with the Catholic Aboriginal project. So I used to go where they do the arts. And their art speaks of a lot of everything that happens in the land. So they've got all these art galleries, and most of their instruments, like the didgeridoo, which Ombasa is obsessed about, has got a lot of drawings and art. You know, the art is, art for them speaks a language. When you look at it, you're like, there must be something going on here. If it's not just the art for, you know, like a cloth, it might be just a design, but a beautiful design. And their prints are almost like the African prints. So it's so amazing, because I was talking to one of them the other day when I was at that center, at the Catholic center, where they used to go for, you know, to do their art and counseling and all that. And she said, you know what, we feel like we are really attached to the African culture, because she had also talked it to someone from Africa, and a lot of things are similar. And the way they dance, and the way they express themselves. And it was so amazing. I was just dumbfounded, because I was like, how come it's just like what we do? So, I've come in contact, not a lot of them, But the few that I have spoken to and what I have seen, and they've got a channel on television, and I watch it a lot because it reminds me of a lot from back home in Africa. So, they are wonderful people, and they haven't lost that culture thing, and they preserve it, and they adore it, and, you know, they sing, they dance, they do a lot of things in a cultural way.
Yes. That's beautiful.
Yes.
There's one more thing I want to tell you all. I don't know if you're going to get a chance, but there's a singing group from the 60s called the Sapphires. They're located in the Sydney suburb of Redfern. A movie was done about their life called the Sapphires. And so if you get a chance to go to Aboriginal Medical Service in Redfern, you got to check out those women that reincarnated the Supremes and went to Vietnam to sing.
Wow.
But that's happening here, too. Powerful stuff.
Yes, it is.
Wow.
Redfern is not very far from where we are. So, there's a lot of history around Redfern. It's just close to the city, to Sydney, CBD, like you call downtown.
I'll send you all the information.
Well, please.
So,
definitely send us that information, Celeste. And I'm so glad you got the chance to play with us today. Guess who we are bringing? We're flying into the playground next week to talk about sound. And who better than the world famous Terry Marie. She's going to be flying in. She just got back to the States from Russia, and I'm saying flying in, but you know what I mean. On the airwaves, on the playground, next week, be there or be square. Terry Marie will be with us in the house as we continue to broadcast live from the land of Down Under, the land of Oz, Sydney, Australia. Ethel and Celeste, I am so appreciative of y'all being here playing today together. It shows that there's no time and space in spirit. We are all one. We are all here and playing as one, mirrors to each other. Thank you so, so very much, Ethel, for giving us all of that background about the
Thank
era,
you for being here.
Culture, about your love for humanity, and we want to continue to support the Roundhead Village as well. Now, the Roundhead Village, does it have a website yet? Not yet?
Pardon me?
Does the Roundhead Village have a website yet?
Oh, no, we're working on it. We're very soon.
Okay.
It will be.
Right.
It will be, yes.
Okay. We'll post that up there probably in the next week or so, because before I leave, we're going to have a website. So,
yes, ma'am.
Everyone, thank you for joining us. Thank you, Ethel, and you know, I'll see you shortly. So thank you for joining us on the show, and everyone looking for you on the playground next week. I'll be here with bells on. Much love, much peace, much joy, much blessings to you all. I'm Pastor out.
Thank you.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.